welcome back for session number 7. Day 7 for many of you, and again, you overachievers. I don't know where you are, but I bet you didn't take 7 days to get here. Listen, before I tell you anything else, I want to sincerely compliment you. This is a difficult process at first, because it's a different way of thinking for a lot of people. You know, I kidded about it on one of the first tapes here about how some people say, I'm a creative person, I'm not an organized person, I've never been an organized person. But you've stepped up to the challenge, and if you're listening to day 7, then I know that you really made some great shifts. And I hope, as you're learning this, there's a process of immersion. What I mean by that is, when you've done enough of this, and you've done it in a short enough period of time, pretty soon you'll start to absorb it. But what you got to do is you're going to have to do some of these things. And starting tomorrow, if you haven't already, we want to move you into your OPA Life Planner. What I mean by that is you're going to want to put your addresses and phone numbers in there. You're going to want to put your calendar dates in the calendars. And you're going to be starting to actually plan your week starting tomorrow. So you want to physically move in, because otherwise this is all intellectual. Now, I also designed this as an audio series for a reason. Most people will not sit down and watch a videotape because it demands their full attention. The truth, though, is I'm trying to teach you a visual system, right? A system for organizing what's in your head and putting it on paper where you can see it and move it and manipulate it. And I'm using an auditory process. That's because people listen to tapes in their car. They listen when they're jogging. They're willing to use that time differently than their video. You will find enclosed, if you haven't already noticed it, a great video that can guide you through some of the things I'm describing in a lot less time. And the reason is because I can show you what I'm talking about. You've heard the phrase, a picture is worth 1,000 words. Well, the same thing is true when you're watching the videotape. Or you may want to consider coming to one of our seminars, because even though you'll know this, there's nothing like being in the environment where you can have immediate feedback from an instructor, where you can show them what you're doing, then give you feedback as well. And what takes 7 days here at a 90-minute or an hour clip each day, we do literally in an evening and a day. So those programs are called More Time. And again, if you're interested in those seminars, be sure to call our offices. I believe the number's on the package, but they asked me to leave it for you here. It's 1-800-445-8183 or 1-800-898-TONY, to be as corny as you can possibly be. They actually made that number, 898-TONY. Anyway, enough commercials and enough talk about this. Congratulations on being here. Now today we're going to have some fun, because this is what really has allowed me to be able to take on as much as I've taken on in my life and succeed and enjoy the success. And that is understanding really how to master and manage projects. Now, what is a project? Well, let's take a look at what we've looked at in terms of managing our life first to kind of put projects in perspective. One of the things that we've learned here is that it makes no sense whatsoever to go off and make a to-do list, and we've learned the reason why. Because if you ask yourself, what do I need to do today, or what do I need to do on this project, or what do I need to do for this week, you can't get an answer of what you need to do when you don't know what it is you want. If you don't know what you're after, then it won't be clear what to do first or second. Even if you do come up with an answer of what to do, it's going to be based then on the state you're in the moment. It's going to be based on one of those three monsters that are always trying to grab your attention, something you fear, right? Something you have concern about, something you think can give you pain, or number two, something can give you immediate pleasure, or number three, the demands of other people around you. And to-do list is going to be based on them instead of on your life plan. What we've learned is we can't figure out how to plan our days or our weeks until we've decided what we want for our life. So one of the ways we approached getting a life plan here was for you to sit down and say, let me look at the life I have right now. What is it in my life that's most important to me that I've decided here and now to commit to do whatever it takes to constantly not only focus on but improve? What are those areas of my life that I will not ever leave out? Because I want a wheel of life that runs nice and round, nice and smooth, and it isn't bumpy. It's not going to jar my life. In fact, I can go as fast as I want to go or as slow as I want to go and enjoy my life. Remember that example we went through? And so in deciding on these categories, we divided them into your personal life and your professional life. You might say, Tony, I know this, but I want to keep you reminded of the psychology of what we're doing here. Because remember what I told you on the first tape. 20% of getting a result is mechanics. 80% is the psychology, the mindset. And what I want to get you to do is I want you to think of your whole life as these two sets of categories. Because what they really do is once you define your categories for your personal and professional life, they become the central components in organizing your life, both so you get peak results, but also so you get peak fulfillment. They determine how you go about living your life. They become the filters instead of the fears, instead of the short-term desires or demands. See, when you organize your life in these separate components, so guess what happens? Your life is much more easily managed because these little controlled segments allow you to approach both the challenges in your life and also the great opportunities one at a time. And when you're just focusing on your body for that moment, it allows you to put your whole mind there, or just focusing on your family, or in business, just focusing on the marketing, or just focusing on the cost control. Focus equals power, and I want you to get to tap into that. So we said we want a life plan. We've created our categories. Hopefully you finished those. Then what'd you do after you created the categories? You created a vision for each of those areas. Like, ultimately, what do I want my body to be like? Ultimately, what do I want my family to be like? Ultimately, what do I want my intimate relationship to be like? What is my ultimate vision and my ultimate purpose for my financial life? What's my ultimate vision for my life spiritually? And you came up with an ultimate vision, which is an ultimate outcome for the category, an ultimate purpose, which is the ultimate why. And you came up with a lot of the things, but one thing hopefully you'll come up with is a set of goals for the year. Those goals must be converted to outcomes. See, a goal is a dream. What you want to do is create a plan. And remember the phrase I told you earlier. It's really important. I'll remind you this again and again also. If you talk about it, it's a dream. People talk a good talk all the time. This is what I'd like. I should do this. I should do that. Wouldn't it be great if? You don't want to be a talker. Now, some people envision things. When you envision it, you start moving closer towards it. When you envision it, it's exciting. When you create a plan for it, now it's really possible. And when you schedule it, when you commit and schedule when you're actually going to do these things, then it becomes real. That means within these categories, you've got goals, but you want to convert those goals into actual plans. Some of these goals actually become projects. And now you know why I've been babbling at you like this. See, what is a project? Well, one more thing of review. I promise not to go further than this. Why do we not want to manage our life through action items? Because there are too many of them. If you're going to be an achiever, if you're going to try and accomplish really significant things, and you're trying to remember all these to-do lists, you're going to get overwhelmed real fast. So very quickly we've learned we don't want to manage our life at that level. That's called level one. Level one of management is action items. We've moved up to level two. Level two is OPA blocks. What's an OPA block? Simply, it's when you say, okay, instead of this random to-do list where one thing says go to the cleaners and the other one says change the world and then meet with my son and then do my accounting, none of that relates to one another. We're going to stop and say, what? What is my outcome? Right? What's the most important outcome out of this list of things of what I need to get done today or this week or whatever the thing is we're planning, whether you're planning a week or a project or a day, you're still going to create OPA as the basis of it. So you're going to say, what's my outcome? Why do I want to do it? And then what specific actions are necessary to make it happen? OPA. So you understand an OPA block. But what happens when the result you're after is going to require more than one outcome to get there, more than one result to get the ultimate result, then you need a project. For example, if you want to build a home, is that going to require probably more than one result, not just more than one action, but more than one OPA block to get the thing done? You bet. There are many results that are required to get a house built. For example, you got the outcome, the OPA block, if you would, of developing the plans. Now, that's not just one action item. You don't just sit down and draw a plan. There's a lot of things. You got to hire an architect. You got to sit down with them. You got to tell them and describe for them what you want. They got to come back the first plans. Then you're going to tell them some feedback. Then they give you back some more plans. So that in itself would be an OPA block on its own. It has a clear outcome to complete our architectural plans for our ideal home. It has a purpose. The purpose might be something like the excitement of seeing our dream home in advance of it being built, getting the picture in our minds. It might also have a purpose like clarity is power. You might say something in there like, I want to have absolute clarity before we begin building what it is we're going to build. You might say another reason why I want to have these plans done, another purpose for this is so that I can get accurate bids on what it's going to cost to build this home. Is that making sense so far? And then there are lots of action items. Again, you have to call several architects. Maybe get a referral from a friend might be a specific action item. Somebody you know, you call a friend named John who you know had a great architect to get a referral. You meet with the architect. You describe to the architect what you want. Maybe another action item is you review the first set of plans. Maybe another action item is review the second set of plans. Finally, you approve them. That's one outcome in a big project called building my ultimate home. What's another outcome you probably have to build? And by the way, that outcome we call a must outcome. Because in a project, must you get those plans done in order to get the ultimate result, the ultimate outcome for this project called your ultimate home, yes or no? Of course you do. What's another must outcome, another OPA block you'll have to build to create your ultimate home? In order to know what has to get done, you have to think about what are you ultimately after. So let's review, first of all, the principle. Anytime that you have a result you want in your life that's going to take more than one outcome to get it done, you got a project. It's that simple. Principle number two, when you get a project, the first thing you got to do is you got to say, what is the ultimate, what would you guess, outcome for this project? What's the ultimate purpose? And then instead of what actions do I have to take, you say, what are the must outcomes? What are the big results that I have to get that ultimate result? For example, your ultimate outcome here might be create the ideal home, one that I will absolutely feel proud to live in for the rest of my life. That's pretty powerful. It's very succinct and it's clear. Then what's your purpose? You might say to have a harbor in the storms of life, to have a place I really love to be with my family, to have the joy and the pride of creating something from scratch, from my own imagination. These might be things that move you. I don't know. But those are your ultimate outcome, your ultimate purpose. Now you'd say, in order to achieve this, in order to build my ultimate ideal home, what are some of the results, the big results, not action items, that I've got to get? So you might say, okay, as I just said, I have to have the plans completed by an architect. A second outcome might say, well, I got to get the city's approval. I got this great plan, but unless they approve it, my plan can never be implemented. And if you've ever built a home, you know this isn't always easy, especially if your home's in a unique spot. So that's another one. And by the way, is it going to take more than one action item to get the city's approval? You're going to just make one phone call and they're going to go, yeah, go build it. No, no, there's a bunch of action items. So that will be its own OPA block. Again, that's a must outcome. So to get my ultimate outcome and my ultimate purpose, my ideal home that juices me, I'm going to have to get the plans done. I'm going to have the must outcome of the city's approval. What else am I going to have to do? I'm going to have to contract all the construction crews. That's going to be a lot more than one action item, but it could be an OPA block. It's another must outcome. What's another stage of completion in this project? In order to get that home done, I probably have to get the foundation completed. That's the first stage, isn't it? Then maybe another outcome is to get the walls up. Then maybe another must outcome is to make sure the roof is on. I'm breaking this down in more detail than you probably want to do, but you get the picture. Maybe another one is I got to buy the furniture. That's more than one action item. I got to make sure that I furnish this place. So each of these must outcomes will turn into OPA blocks. And that's how you're going to achieve this ultimate project. Is this making sense? Let's take a simpler example than building a home, since most of us aren't doing that by ourselves. We get a little coaching from the people around us. They know how to build these projects already. But I want you to get, when someone builds a skyscraper, they have an ultimate outcome, an ultimate purpose, and they have a series of mini projects within that, don't they? A series of OPA blocks that they know have to be completed to meet the ultimate result. Let's say you want to send your son to college. Let's use that as an example. And by the way, if you have your workbook, I believe this one is in it, so you could actually see this if you're not in your car or running along listening to this tape set. I'd open the book and look under that section on projects. And you'll see this example about sending your son to college. So you might want to stop the tape right now and grab that if you have it. Otherwise, I'll continue assuming that you're making good pictures in your mind of this. So take a look or listen up. It says, first of all, what's the ultimate outcome? And you might say, to assist my son in getting into the ideal college that'll facilitate his development as a young man and prepare him for a career in international business. You're not just saying, get my kid into college. You're being specific. The more specific an outcome is, the better. Try to keep it brief. This one's a little bit long. You might say, assist my son to get into ideal college, to facilitate his improvement as a young man, and to facilitate career in international business, as tight as possible. Why? Because you don't want just any college. You want one that's going to actually make him a better person, and you want one that's going to give him things that he needs to achieve his goal of being an international business person. Make sense? What's the purpose? I want him to have a compelling future. I want him to have something he's looking forward to. I don't want him not looking forward to college. Why else do I want to make sure I assist him in doing this? I want to make sure he has all the resources to write his own ticket, not relying on me. What else? I want to make sure he develops his own identity. What else? I want to have the excitement and juice of seeing his face when he comes home and he knows things I don't know. What else? I want to give him the identity of being the first of the four kids to graduate from college. That's going to excite him. So those are reasons. Remember, reasons come first, answers come second. You get a big enough why, you can figure out how to do anything. So let's say you want to get your kid into college. Many of you have already done this. But you may have run around reacting to, oh my gosh, we have to do this, or we have to do that. Or maybe you laid out a really good plan. I don't know. But most people don't work on their plan until they feel a great sense of urgency, until they've left the zone that you learned about on that second tape, the zone of fulfillment where they're doing things that are important but not yet urgent. And instead, they're in that place of it's urgent and important. We've got to do it now. I wonder why we're so stressed. We've got to get our kid to college. Oh, my God, what are we going to do first? And you start talking to somebody saying, come on, what are we going to do here? If you were to plan it out, you might do it this way. And if you flip the page in your workbook, you'll see the example. It shows you how you begin to build a project. You have an ultimate outcome, assist your son in getting the ideal college, facilitate his development as a young man, and prepare him for his career in international business. You got your purpose, what you want him to experience and feel, and why it's important. And then you start saying, what are some of the must results? Now, if you don't have the notebook, that's even better. If you want to get your kid in college, think for a second right now. What are some of the results you'd have to get, the outcomes that would have to be complete before you could get him into the ideal college? What are some of those you'd have to get done? Think about it for a second. And if you're in your car, say it out loud. No one will notice. Go ahead. You can talk to me. I'm listening. It's okay. Come on. So one thing you might say is, well, I got to make sure he gets great grades in high school. You know, because if he doesn't do that, it doesn't matter what college he wants to go in, he can't get in there. Now, by the way, making sure he gets the highest possible grades in high school, is that like a little mini OPA block? Does that have a purpose behind it? Yeah. The outcome is get the best possible grades in high school. The reason why is he can't get into a college unless he has great grades, not the college he wants. And if he does, he can pick and choose. That's one of the big foundations. So then you'd say, well, what are the action items? What do I need to do to help Josh make sure he gets the very best possible grades? And that becomes one OPA block, one must outcome. You know, whenever we use the word must outcome, that it's simply an OPA block within a project, which has a bigger ultimate result and ultimate purpose. Are you following that? So now, what's another result you'd have to get the ultimate outcome of your son getting in the ideal college? You'd say, well, he'd have to get a great grade on the SAT. That's true. Well, then how are you going to do that? What's the outcome? To have him fully prepared for the SAT test so he does his absolute best. Okay, why? The SAT test is going to determine which schools he can or cannot get into a great extent. Why else? If he's well prepared, he has the best chance of getting the highest possible score. Why else? You want him to have the pride when he talks to other people, say, here's what my SAT score is. Because all kids talk about it. I don't know why. You come up with your why. What action items? You might say, call Kaplan Institute. They train people for the SAT. Find out what they do. Maybe consider hiring a tutor, for example. What else? And you'll come up with all the action items. All those are another OPA block. What's another outcome you'd have to have completed before he could actually get in the ideal college? Well, he'd have to select the college he wants, right? Another outcome might be applying and being accepted. And that's a whole series of steps. That's another OPA block or must outcome. What's another one? Working out the financial budget. Right? Is he going to get this money from someone else or from you? If he's going to get it from you, we need to schedule this conversation. We got to break down what the rules of the game are here. What are we going to do? How much is going to be provided? And how do we know if he's really doing what he needs to do or not? Are you following me on this? So what happens if you try to do this in your head? You're going to be completely overwhelmed. But when you do it on paper, pretty soon, here's what happens. Getting your son into college might become seven OPAs, all tied to one ultimate outcome and one ultimate purpose. Seven little must outcomes. And you'll know exactly what to do, when to do it. And in fact, you'll do the same five steps that you did to plan anything else. What are the five steps? Number one, capture. So that's what you'll do here. You'll write down your ultimate outcome, your ultimate purpose, and you'll start capturing anything you can think of that you think is a result that has to happen. What's step number two? Create an OPA plan. So once you've figured all these must outcomes, turn, you'll go to the next step, which is create an OPA block for each one. Ask yourself, what is the outcome? Why do I want to do this? What specific actions do I need to take? Put them in an order of importance. Do you have to do all of them? No. What are the most important action items to get that outcome? What are the 20% of the things you need to focus on to get 80% of the result? And is there anybody you can leverage this stuff to? Not delegate, remember, leverage. Delegate, we give it to somebody else and hope they get it done. If they don't, we blame them. Leverage is, I give it to you to do, but I stay on top of you to make sure it actually happens, right? Because I know ultimately I'm responsible for the result. So can I leverage some of this? Under the outcome of selecting the ideal college, one of my action items is to meet with Josh and sit down and talk about his goals and where he'd like to go and why. Another action item is to get on the internet and review what those colleges are really like. What's the focus of their international education? Who are some of the instructors? What are some of the strengths of that school or weaknesses? The internet can give us all kinds of choices. Now, do I need to do that? No. I thought, I can have my assistant do that. I thought, no, Josh needs to do that. He's the person I leverage this to, and he comes back and gives me a report. Maybe he goes through 30 or 40 websites, and maybe he comes down to the top three or four for me to look at with him. Do you follow me on this? So what you can do is you can take this huge project that has a bunch of things you don't think about until they're due, and you can think in advance. You can be organized in advance. When you get to the idea of the applications, if you're thinking far enough in advance, and you think about how do we make sure he accept his application, you might say, you know, I know John Smith. He's a senator in that state. Or I know Mary Sue. She went to that school. I think she knows somebody. Or I know somebody else who can write a great letter. You start thinking that far enough in advance that when you call Mary Sue or Senator John Smith, they have time to respond and get the application in. Because what most people do is this is a moment of stress for them. This project called getting their son or daughter into school becomes totally stressful. And very often people miss out on deadlines And then they have to settle for something less than they really desire. Are you following me on this too? Let's look at another kind of project. Maybe one that you can relate to personally. I don't know. How about losing some weight? Now, let's say your outcome is lose 3 pounds. Well, you know, that's an OPA block. You could do that probably in a day or two or maybe a week. And I don't know about you, but I can lose 5 pounds in that time period easy. But the point of the matter is there aren't that many action items to get the job done. You'd say, here's what I want to do. Here's the outcome I want. Here's why I want it. Here's what I'm going to do to get it done. But if you want to lose 60 pounds, that's another game. And you're not going to do that in a day. Well, yeah, and I believe anything's possible. I mean, you could chop off your legs and arms. You know, you get it done, but, you know, it wouldn't be a very comfortable experience. So the truth of the matter is that's going to take probably more than an OPA block, isn't it? That's going to require several outcomes to get that ultimate result. So I gave an example of a man who wanted to lose, if I remember correctly, 80-plus pounds. And he was overwhelmed. And he'd always try to do this, and nothing had ever worked. He'd lose 10 or 12 pounds, 15 or 20 max, and he'd always go back again. And so I said to him, I said, you know why? You've never had a real plan. And I said, so let's actually break one down. And let's start with what's your real outcome and why do you want it? Because I can guarantee you, as you go to try and lose 80 pounds, there are going to be moments you're going to go, screw this idea. I don't give a darn about losing this weight. Give me a burger and fries. I want it now. Give it to me right now. Where is Wendy's, for God's sakes? I know that's going to happen. Or you're going to have this song in your head. Aren't you hungry? Aren't you hungry? Aren't you hungry for Burger King? Some insane thing is going to attack you along the way to 80 pounds. I promise you. Unless you have an absolutely clear outcome and you know why you want to do this and it's strong enough why to make it past Burger King, you're never going to make it. Am I right? Okay. Now, some of you say, I wouldn't know. I'm perfect. I have 0.6% body fat. I am pure muscle. I have never participated in a Wendy's meal. Okay, and let's just use this as an example for other people you know who need this, or for you just to understand the concept of a project. So take a look at the example of Big Bad Dog. You'll find it in your book, or again, if you're listening to me on audio tape here without a workbook, or you're driving your car, it would not be good to look at your workbook. So let me give you a description verbally of what's in the book. Picture this if you would. Here's a man, a very big man, massively overweight. He weighs over 300 pounds. His goal, he's a tall man, big bone man, is he wants to get down to 227 pounds. All right, that's his goal. So I said, okay, what is your ultimate outcome for this project? This is a project. It's going to take more than a day to do this, more than a week. So if it's going to something, and by the way, that's a good clue. If something's going to take more than a day, more than a week, it's more than likely a project. It's going to take more than one outcome to get it done. Just common sense. So he said, well, my ultimate outcome is I want to produce an extraordinary level of energy. Because he used to lose 10 or 20 pounds, and he'd have no energy. And then he felt like hell, and he thought, gosh, I might as well eat, because then I felt like I had more energy, too. So he said, I want to produce an extraordinary amount of energy in my body and vitality, and I want to weigh 227 pounds, and I want to be a master trainer for you as a result of that, one of the people that works at our Mastery University programs. Because he said, I know if I do that, I can accomplish anything. So I said, okay, your outcome is increase your energy massively, your vitality massively, and weigh 227. He said, that's right. I said, that's a clear, specific outcome. And by the way, that's better than lose 80 pounds, because nobody wants to lose anything. Right? You lose it, you go looking for it again. Right? What you want to do is you want to gain something, not weight. You want to gain a result, gain energy, gain a level of physical fitness and vitality and weight that you deserve. Now, I said, what's your ultimate purpose? And he said, what do you mean? I said, why do you want to do this? He said, so I can accomplish anything I want. I know if I could lose 80 or 90 pounds. And I forgot the exact number, quite honestly. Maybe, I think it was around 85 as I think about it. But whatever it was. He said, if I can lose that much weight, 80 or 90 pounds, I know I could accomplish anything in my life. I could do it in business, my personal life, anywhere. Plus, I'd become a role model to my kids and anybody I love. I'd experience an ultimate sense of pride. I'm so excited. He said, I can't imagine. He said, yes, I can. I can imagine what that would feel like. I said, oh, good. That's the next step. To have you start to get it. So now what do you got? He's got an ultimate outcome, an ultimate purpose. So I said to him, what specific results would you have to accomplish in order to have that ultimate outcome of 227 pounds? He said, well, I probably have to go on a diet. I said, well, let's think at a larger level. What's one of the first things you have to do? And he had a hard time thinking about this. So I said, let's just make a capture list then. Let's not even work on must outcomes yet. Let's just make a capture list. So if you look at the bottom of the page, he came up with things. He said, well, I got to change my eating habits. I said, okay, that makes sense. What else? He said, well, I guess I got to learn to cleanse myself because I realize I got a lot of toxicity in my body. It's one of the reasons I'm overweight. So he was educated. What else? I need to set up some kind of support system. He said, because I never fall through because I feel all by myself and no one else is doing this. And I said, well, what else? He said, I got to get leverage on myself. I got to find a way to make sure I stick to it and also a way to make it enjoyable along the way. So I'm not just stressed all the time. I said, that's good. Write that down. Just capture it. Forget about the must outcomes right now. Sometimes that's too big a thought process. Just dump the stuff out of your head. Step one is capture it and doing a project. Well, what else? He said, well, I got to develop some kind of exercise program. I said, well, of course you do. And by the way, do these sound like they might be Opal blocks? Develop an exercise program. Develop a dietary program you could really enjoy. Each of those will require a variety of steps, right? They'd have to have a purpose behind them. I said, what else? He said, well, I got to set a higher standard for myself than I've had before. I got to like raise my mentality about what I'm willing to settle for. What else? He said, I got to create lots of ways to feel good besides food. He said, because that's what I turned to food for. I said, that's great. What else? Is there anybody you need to communicate to about this to make sure you follow through? He goes, yeah, I need to make a public commitment, man, that I can't turn back on. I said, okay, well, we have a videotape rolling. That'll assist you. I said, what else? He said, I got to call my wife and I got to call my daughters because I got to get them behind me on this too. I said, okay, anything else? He goes, no, I think that'll do it. I said, okay, now you have this long list, but it isn't very specific. Like, change my eating habits. There's no plan for it, right? So let's turn these into must outcomes. And tell me, let's look at your outcome again. Your outcome is to increase your energy and vitality and weigh 227 pounds, right? Know you can accomplish anything. You know you can accomplish anything to your purpose. You know that if you do this, you'll feel so proud. You'll be a role model for your friends, for your children. So the question is, what are the big results you have to do to get that ultimate result? What are the big outcomes? He said, well, at first I got to determine what my current physical condition is so I can see whether I'm making progress or not. I said, by the way, is that a must outcome? He said, yeah. So I said, let's write that down. So he wrote down, determine my current physical condition. I said, because is that just like one thing, like weighing yourself? He said, no, I got to weigh myself. I got to find out my triglycerides. He said, you know, I have diabetes, so I'd have to figure out what my current blood sugar level is. And he went through this whole list of things. I said, okay, those things you're telling me are going to be part of that OPA block. Okay? So what other big result do you have to get? What's another must outcome to get your ultimate outcome? He said, I'd have to begin a detoxification program. He said, I know I'm full of poison. You can't weigh this much without having a lot of toxicity in your body. So I got to do that. I said, that's more than one step, isn't it? He goes, yeah. So that's an outcome. We got to create an OPA block for that. So that's a must outcome. Perfect. Okay, what else you got to do? He said, I got to create, you know, a dietary lifestyle and a strategy for being on the road because I travel a lot. I said, okay, that's going to take some action items. That's clearly an OPA block. What else? He said, I need to create some kind of philosophy, you know, kind of mindset that gives me certainty that I'll follow through. And lastly, he said, I need to create an exercise program that'll make me burn fat because I've gone on some exercise programs and I get anaerobic. And he said, I burn more sugar than fat. And so I don't really lose any weight. And he said, I end up being more stressed. I said, okay, good. Let's see if all these things fit in there. Changing your eating habits. Have we handled that within these must outcomes? Yep. Cleansing yourself? Yep. How about setting up a support system? He said, well, that'll really be part of my philosophy, I think, more than anything else. But maybe it'll be a support system for exercise. He said, I think that'll fit in there. I said, okay. What else? Get leverage on myself. He said, well, that's part of my philosophy. Develop an exercise program. Okay, we have a must outcome. We went through the whole list. And what was great is they all fit into those five must outcomes. So understand me now. He has this thing he wants to lose, all this weight. He wants to lose 80 or 90 pounds. He's turned it from lose 80 or 90 pounds to increase my energy and vitality massively, weigh 227 pounds. He knows why he's doing it. And he knows there's only five things he has to get done. He has to determine where he is now physically. He's got to begin a detoxification program. He's got to create a dietary lifestyle that he enjoys and that works. He's got to create a mindset and a philosophy that will guide him, and he needs to create an exercise program. Now, does it feel better to have those five things than to have the longer list he originally had, which had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 things? And the truth is those 13 things are not laid out yet in a way he could even act on. Do you follow me on that? You know, we all know we got to do some exercise. So now, the secret is that was step number one. What step number one was is he created a capture list. And then he began step number two. He's already begun to create an OPA plan, hasn't he? He knows his ultimate outcome, his ultimate purpose, and he knows the must outcomes. But each one of those need to be turned into OPA blocks. So let's go to step two. You're going to ask, what are the most important outcomes I must produce in order to complete this? Well, I know the outcomes. Let's take his first one. Determine my current physical condition. He said, let me be more specific about that so the outcome's more clear and more compelling. And if you look in your notes, or I'll just read it to you, he said, determine my current physical condition in terms of my weight, my measurements, my body fat, and my percentage of triglycerides. And if you'll notice, if you have the book, it has by a certain date. He knows that he's got to put a deadline on this outcome or it won't happen. A goal is just a dream. An outcome has a deadline, you know, and it has a plan behind it. And he says, okay, now why do I want to determine my current physical condition? Because, you know, he may go, I don't need to do that. And by knowing the why, he'll follow through. His why is to know exactly where I am today, to get a reality check, to produce more leverage, to create more pain, to drive me forth, because I'm sure I'm going to learn some things I don't want to know about my triglycerides. He said, that'll make me more compelled to follow through. And also to be proud and know that I can really accomplish something, because I may not lose weight right away because I know my body's got to heal itself. So maybe my triglycerides will go down and I can measure that and that'll keep me going. I said, that's smart. So what actions are you going to take? And he said, well, I got to weigh myself. And I said, well, okay, write that down as an action item. How long will that take? 5 minutes. Okay, what else? I got to get blood analysis done. So he wrote that down. It'll take 5 minutes. Determine his fat content. Determine what his triglycerides are. And he could do a lot of these things while he was at Life Mastery, which is, by the way, where we taught him this plan. So he figured this whole thing out right away, like in a day. What was the second outcome? Begin a detoxification program, and then he enhanced it. He said, begin a detoxification program in order to assist my body to produce the maximum levels of energy and health. See, he wants to remember what his real outcome is, not just to detoxify, but increase his energy. Are you still following me on this? Why? To create a healthy environment, to start with a good base, to feel clean and healthy and have more vitality. What do you need to do? He said, I need to pay close attention to Saturday's session on detoxification that you're teaching. I said, that's a good clue. He said, I need to select a date to begin the cleansing process. I got to actually choose the date. That's an action item. I said, you're right on. He said, I got to go to the health food store and purchase the supplies. Good. What else? I got to start the program. What else? I got to interview people who've done the cleanse and discover what I can expect will happen to me. I said, that's smart. And he said, I need to create a support system. I need to find someone here maybe that I can do it with so that we both are going through it and we can support each other. I said, that's a great little plan. I'll say, put a box around that. You got an open block. I said, now put those in the order of importance. Which one of those are musts? He said, I got to learn the stuff on Saturday. I got to start the program and I got to create a support system. Those are three musts. The other stuff are natural for me. And we add up the total time for the whole thing. And the total time for the whole thing, including attending the seminar, is going to be at 6 hours. So it's not a hard thing. And he's got that whole OPA block done. Now, bear in mind, to lose 90 pounds, there's only five outcomes he has to get. I won't go through every one, but let me give you a couple more highlights. Create a dietary lifestyle and a strategy that I don't have to think about. See, he said, instead of just creating a dietary plan, that's one outcome, he got more specific. Again, clarity is power. The more specific you are about the outcome, the better answer you're going to get when you say, how do I get this done? So he said, okay, I don't want to just create a dietary lifestyle. I want to create a dietary lifestyle and a strategy that I don't have to think about and that's enjoyable and supports my current life. That's smart. Now, why? He said, because it's time to give me a sense of power and pride and achievement because I want to lead by example. And by having a lifestyle or a diet that I enjoy, I'll stick to it. It'll make me feel strong and congruent. Now he's ready to rock. Well, what do you got to do? He said, well, number one, I got to educate myself into the principles that'll make me healthy. He said, so I'm going to attend Saturday's session. I said, okay. How much time? What day? He said, that's 6 hours that day. I said, what else? He said, I just need to brainstorm a bunch of food options that'll be healthy and that I probably would enjoy. He said, at times, you know, when I think it's healthy, I think immediately I won't like it. But there's some things that are healthy that I enjoy. I need to make a list of them. There are actually a few vegetables I love. There's some fruits that I love. There's some, you know, he said, start thinking. He said, you know, I said, well, don't tell me. Just write down to do that. He said, okay. What else? He said, I need to create a menu for 1 month with a set of rules of what I'm going to do and not do. He said, then I don't have to think about it. You know, I'll just know. This is what I do on Monday. This is what I do on Tuesday. And I just look at it and I can even give it to somebody else. I can leverage it. I said, good. What else? He said, I need to brainstorm some ideas for eating on the road. That's a whole other game. And then I got to share those menus with my family. And then another action is test them for enjoyment. You know, I'll try a bunch of things till I find what I like. And he said, then I got to establish the right serving sizes because otherwise I'll find even good stuff and overeat that. I need to interview a potential cook. My family deserves a cook. We've had one a long time ago. I need somebody who'll come in and cook good food for us. And I need to gather some recipes. So he went through his whole list. And this whole OPA block to create a total perfect dietary lifestyle that he'll love and try out different food and everything. It's 7 hours. And this, of course, is going to be done over the course of months. What else? And he went through what he does. And if you have the notebook, you can read it on your own, how he created the mindset. And lastly, how he created an ideal program for exercise that would burn fat, build endurance and strength, and cause him to live the level that he wants to be. And he has a kind of a role for himself that makes him really happy, which he calls Big Bad Dog. That's his nickname for who he wants to be. And if you have the book in front of you, you'll see what was step three in the planning process. One is capture. Two is create your OPA plan. That's what he has now. But on a project, the only difference is you have an ultimate outcome, an ultimate purpose, and a series of OPA blocks that relate to that ultimate result. Okay, you follow me? Then what's step three? Commit. And you'll see where the committing makes sense, where you can see a calendar going across time, and he went through and he said, these are the most important outcomes. Here's where I'm going to begin each outcome. Here's where I'm going to end it. So he can look and see at what point he's supposed to begin something or end it. And then, of course, step four is he scheduled it in his binder, which I'll show you how to do later. And then he measured himself, and he managed himself, and he celebrated. I saw a big, bad dog less than a year later, and he'd already lost 80 pounds. Now, let me tell you what's really exciting about it. And by the way, he not only lost 80 pounds, but he was rather proud about it, as you might guess. I mean, he went around showing everybody the photographs and the videotape that we did of him when he first got started. Now, here's what's exciting, though. This is what I love about OPA. Remember I told you, like, in the beginning, it might feel like, oh, it's going to take longer to do this. I could just write my to-do list and the time it takes to do all this stuff. I could just be getting started. Yes, you could be getting started, but you'll forget why you're doing it if it's a big project. Everyone gets off track. Isn't that true? You lose your sense of purpose sometimes, or you even forget what the real reason is you started. You lose the outcome itself. So you've got to do that. And by having a clear plan, you can anticipate challenges. Like, he anticipated all the challenges that would show up, like not liking the food. And he solved it in advance because he thought it through. Or like an exercise program that really burned fat, as opposed to just exercising like a maniac and then getting injured, as an example. Or he also anticipated like his wife may not be thrilled about the change in diet. So he said, you know, if she had a cook, she might be a whole lot more supportive, right? And he figured out I need to try a bunch of different menus. So he thought those things in advance that very often along the way would have become stumbling blocks and knocked him off course. That's part of the power. But I'll tell you the ultimate power. See, there's something I teach. I mentioned earlier in this tape program called Pathways to Power. This is what makes me crazy. See, my whole life, I've studied patterns. I've looked around and I realize that patterns are power. If someone is really good at something, it's because they have pattern recognition. What do I mean by that? Well, if somebody looks around, they want to lose weight, and they got to start from scratch all by themselves, it's a bit overwhelming. But guess what Big Bad Dog can do? He said, listen, I've lost 85 pounds. Would you like to see how I did it? Here's exactly how I did it. And here's my question for you. Who else needs to produce these same outcomes to lose weight? Who else needs to figure out where they are if they're going to lose weight? Anybody. Do you follow me on this? Who else needs to start a detoxification program if they're going to really lose weight permanently instead of just going on a diet? Anybody. Who else needs to make sure they develop a dietary plan that they enjoy and is still helpful? Anyone is going to lose weight. Who needs to develop a mindset or a support system? Anybody. Who else needs to set up an exercise program? Anybody. In other words, they may have different words for the purposes, and they may have a different amount of weight they want to lose. But are a lot of these same outcomes and even action items going to be identical for almost anyone who wants to produce this result? Yes or no? The answer is yes. This is a pathway to power. So I'll give you an example of my business. There's a seminar I do called Life Mastery. I mentioned it earlier. And the reason I pick it as the example out of all the seminars I do is because it is so, so complex. I mean, can you imagine 9 straight days and nights? The subjects range for 2 days on physical, 2 days on your emotional life, 2 days on relationship mastery, you know, a day on financial mastery, a day on leadership, all these things. And you got people from 65 countries, and you got a ton of them don't speak any English, and you got 6 languages being translated simultaneously, and you have 300 volunteer staff members, and you have your own corporate staff members, and you have maybe 24 speakers, and you have spa facilities going on all at one time. We take over the entire hotel. It's like a mini city. Now, all that is run by a team of people, but all of that came out of my head. And I got to make sure that all these people are thrilled from the time they wake up in the morning and they get in that room from 8:30 in the morning till about midnight. And to make sure it's the greatest days of their entire life. I want to make sure it's the most exciting, fun, powerful days of their lives. Now, do you think that's a fairly decent-sized project? Yeah, I'd call it a mega project, which I'll explain a little bit later. It's a big project. Are there a lot of outcomes that have to happen to make that happen? You bet. A huge number of them. So the only way I can do that is with this system of thinking. Otherwise, I wouldn't even know where to start. It'd be like building a skyscraper and I don't know where to start. I know where to start because I have an ultimate outcome for that program, an ultimate purpose, a series of results. So I can give you an example. I've done that program for, 10 years now, but I'm always improving it, always changing it. And so I sat down just to figure out my portion of the program, and doing my project plan took me about 4.5 hours to do it because I was thinking through every detail. And I ended up with, I think it was like 16 or 17 OPA blocks just for that project. It's a huge project. Now, I was thinking, it was 4.5 hours. And I was, even at the end of it, I was thinking, oh my gosh, that's a lot of time. But guess what I had? I had a pathway to power. Do you follow me on this? Because then I went to do Date with Destiny, which is a different seminar, one I was holding here in Fiji. But you know what? I had some of the same outcomes. Because see, when I did that outcome, I said, okay, My Outcomes produced the most extraordinary program that people have ever experienced in their lives, to transform the quality of people's lives forever, to make sure they enjoy themselves immensely, and that I do too. Ooh, that was a neat addition. Before, I enjoyed it when it was over. I thought, wasn't that amazing what I did for people? But I had to make it through this thing because I had 9 days a night. So I was giving my all. I was totally focused on everybody else, but I didn't have an outcome to enjoy myself along the way. So I did enjoy certain things and not others. So by enjoying it, that was my ultimate outcome. I thought, ultimate purpose, why? And I'm doing this off the top of my head. I don't remember the exact language that I used, but I know it was change lives, have fun, make a difference. You know, the pride of doing something that is extraordinary, that's outstanding, that's better than anything that exists. There is nothing like this. To make absolutely certain that every soul in that program from all these countries in the world goes back and has not only changed their own life, but also has an impact on anyone they have the privilege to touch. That got me pretty juiced. And I put also, I need to add one, so that I have fun during the process. So I love the process. Well, when I did that and I said, what are some of my must outcomes? I came up with a new must outcome that I never worked on before. And that was make sure that I'm personally in the best physical and emotional shape possible before the program starts.
This session continues on the opposite side.
Because you can guess when I got 300 people and they all want to talk to me, all the staff, the managers, the assistant managers, the hotel people, people are coming in, guests are arriving, key people, VIPs want to meet, all this stuff is happening. And so guess what? I was running around like a rag doll trying to meet everybody's needs except whose? Mine. And then I'd get up there and I was already out of gas for 5 days before I started the 9-day program and I had to just suck it up and deliver. And I always did because that's my commitment. But boy, I would enjoy myself a whole lot more if I'd taken care of my body in advance. So when I created this plan, and the first year I did that, I actually sat outside and took a little tan. I went for a nice, gentle jog. I didn't just beat myself into the ground. You know, I went swimming. I spent some time with my son. I did a bunch of things that nurtured me emotionally and physically so that when it was time to start the program, yes, I was prepared, but I had a foundation to come from. Now, by the way, how often is that, you think, an important thing for me in doing a seminar? I realized, my gosh, this is a pattern that needs to be consistent, not once in a while. And I came up with a series of those. And then I thought, you know what? I got to take care of my staff because they're going to be pretty ragged by the time this thing starts. Now, this is a big run-up to put on a production like this. I mean, imagine what it takes to put on a concert. I mean, like a big concert. And we do 15 and 20,000 person seminars, but we don't do them for 9 days and nights. This is like even more intense than that. So in order to keep people from being ragged, I thought, I got to make sure I take care of them physically and emotionally, that my staff is totally nurtured in advance of the program and during it. And all of a sudden, I changed a whole series of things. I changed what people did before the program so they were in better shape to support our participants when they arrived. And also because I want to make sure they enjoyed the process, not like at the end said, look what I helped to create, but along the way, they had a great time. And then I went through all the things I had to do to make the program successful. And I could go through the whole list. We don't need to do that. But here's the point. It took me 4.5 hours to put that original plan together. Guess how much time that saved me? Forget the time. Guess how much enjoyment that gave me? Guess how much greater my results were because I took those 4.5 hours, which I did in advance of 9 straight days. It's worth its weight in gold. But then I go to do Date with Destiny, a totally different program, a totally different place. And I look down at this pathway and I go, some of the same outcomes. What do I got to do? Take care of myself in advance. What I got to do? Take care of my team. What I got to do? And all those same items. And so now it takes me 20 minutes to lay out a plan for an equally intense program because I've already made the investment in creating the pathway to power. Do you follow me on this? So that's the same thing. So anytime you use a project and you create it in your company, what's really exciting is, or in your personal life, is now you can do it again and you'll start noticing patterns are similar. I mean, I'll give you a good example. Baseball. To hit a fastball in the World Series, you have to decide to swing the bat by the time I say the word two. If I say the phrase, to hit a fastball in the World Series, you have to decide to swing by the time I said the word two. Did you hear that? You have 1/10 of a second to decide. Now, let me give you a clue. Hitting a round ball with a round bat is one of the most difficult aspects of any sport in the world. This is not because I'm a baseball fan. It's a fact. I'll tell you how you know. Because the best hitters on the face of the earth fail. 70% of the time. That's if you're the best on earth. You fail 70% of the time. Tell me a sport like that doesn't exist. That's how difficult it is. And here's why it's difficult. You say, well, what does this got to do with pathways to power? Stay with me on this. It'll make sense. In order to make that decision to swing the bat within a tenth of a second, you then have to actually initiate the swing within 0.2 seconds, and you got to complete it within another tenth. That means in less than half a second, in 0.4 seconds, you have to have decided a swing, made your swing, and completed it. Otherwise, you stand no chance. And even then, you may judge incorrectly. How does a batter in a tenth of a second make that decision? They don't do it by waiting for the ball to be released. This is what I found out by working with professional athletes, professional baseball players. They didn't even realize this until I got in their head, started asking questions. What they've done is they've seen enough pitchers. They've watched a pitcher through the seasons, through the years, that by the torque of his body, by the look on his face, by what he's thrown in the past, just as he's about to release the ball, in that millisecond, they decide what he is throwing. And they begin to decide whether they're going to swing or not. They literally decide before the ball is released. By the way, this is why somebody like Michael Jordan, who has probably the greatest eye-hand coordination of anybody alive, why was he a miserable baseball player, right? Here's a guy who's one of the most incredible athletes in the world because he's used to having eye-hand coordination as something that doesn't move. He doesn't have the years of watching someone and knowing in a tenth of a second what's about to happen. But on a basketball court, he has the pathways to power, doesn't he? He knows when you start moving this direction, he knows exactly how to play you. He knows the people. He knows what they do. He knows how they do it. He knows what he needs to do to own the court. That's why he's the best in the world. He's a master of pathways to power. The only way he can do that is because he identifies the patterns of what's going on around him. And you say, well, that comes from experience. Well, in life, experience is no guarantee of success. Lots of times we have an experience that we should know, but we make the same screw up again. Why? Because we didn't identify the pathway. We didn't identify, hey, doing that produced that result. We just in the moment said, I don't like this, and moved on. When you start capturing, you start doing OPA blocks, you start doing projects, you're going to start saying, hey, this thing that worked over here in my personal life will work in my business. Or, wow, this thing I did in my business, wow, that can help me to plan this wedding. I mean, you literally will start to see patterns, and pretty soon, what took you a long time to do, you'll do in no time. I'll tell you an experience that we use in the seminars, in the live more time seminars, is at this stage in the program for people, we say, now look, how many of you are excited? And almost everybody's excited. I say, how many of you feel a little overwhelmed? Almost everybody's a little overwhelmed, right? Because you've given them so much. I said, because we need to start doing this stuff now. And I said, so before we do though, I want to give you a little exercise. And I divide them into partners. And I said, you get with a partner, and here's your exercise. I want you to do the following. One of you is going to be the timekeeper and stenographer. You're going to time how long something takes, and you're going to write it down. The other, you're going to be the person doing this. And here's all you're going to do. I'm going to ask you to write down your name. You're going to actually sign your name 10 times in your cursive handwriting. Okay, 10 times you're going to sign your name. But here's how you're going to do it. The person who's the timer, they're going to look at their watch, and they're going to say, go. And then when you're done writing your name, the millisecond you're done writing, the minute your pen stops, you say stop to them. They'll see exactly how long it took, and they'll write it down. Then you'll write it a second time, and they'll say to you, ready, go. You write it down, they'll time it, and the minute you're done, you yell stop, they see how long it is, they write it down. You do this 10 individual times. Each one of the 10 times, it's timed. Okay? And if you want to do this, you can turn off the tape and do it. Otherwise, you can continue, and I'll explain to you what happens. Then I say, now here's what I want you to do. Take those 10 times and add them up and divide by 10. So you can find out what's the average amount of time it takes you to sign your name. So a person might come out and say, it takes them 4.1 seconds. I don't know. I forget what the average is. So now, we say, now here's what I want you to do. Write half as much of that. Write half your name. But the way I want you to do it is skip every other letter. So if I'm going to write Tony Robbins, I write the T in cursive, and then I got to connect that not to an O, but to an N. I got to skip the Y, and I got to write the R. I got to skip the O, and I got to write the B. Skip the next B and do the I. Skip the N and write the S. Half as much work to do, right? I want you to write that same way. Do it 10 times, and I want the timer to tell you go. You do it. And then you yell stop when you're done, and they'll time you. And we'll do this 10 times and find out what happens. Now, if you want to actually try this, go do it right now and turn off the tape. And you'll discover something really interesting. So do step one first. Rewind to that spot if you didn't do it. Then when you're done with that, do step two. I'm going to assume that you either turned off the tape now or you're about to. I'm giving you a few seconds to decide. Time is up. Okay, welcome back. Now, here's what I want you to do. Notice the pattern. When you were writing out your full name, twice as much information, didn't take you very long. Now I gave you half the task. do half as much. But because it's new, it took you what? Longer. But what happened by the time you got to the 10th one? Took you, and not half as much time for most of the people I've done this with. Somehow, it doesn't make any sense. They're doing half as much work. It doesn't take half as much time. It takes less than half as much time. Many times it takes a third as much time. This is what happens with OPA. You start recognizing patterns. See, when you first try to sign your name and you know the pattern, it's easy. You don't know the pattern at first, even though it's half the work, it seems difficult. This is a good metaphor for what will happen when you start to master this. Now, let me give you one last example of a project, because I want you to see that you can have projects in either your professional life or your personal life. It doesn't matter. And that when you're going to do something, you just want to get in the habit of doing this five-step process. Capture, create an OPA plan, commit to when you're going to do the things, schedule things that need to be scheduled, and then measure it, manage it, master it, and celebrate the victory. And if you do that and you use a project planner, it'll work. Now, you'll notice, by the way, in your life planner, there's a separate section just for projects. If you're using the software, there's a phenomenal way to manage an unlimited number of projects, and it's easy to do. Either way, all you have to do is start out with something simple. What are the steps? Let's remind ourselves. Ultimate outcome, ultimate purpose. What are the steps? Capture anything you can think of about it, but it's best to start out with an ultimate outcome and ultimate purpose. How do you know it's a project? It's going to take more than one outcome to get the ultimate result, right? Or it's going to probably take more than a day or a week. That's another clue for you. So let me give you this final example. How about creating a wedding? Now, a lot of times, guess who's running the wedding? The person who's getting married. So I gave you an example in your book here of a lady that I met. Really neat lady. Really, really loving, warm person. And when I met her, she was stressed out of her mind. She was coming to a seminar to do a bunch of other things. And she said, you know what? I'm getting married, and I forgot the time period. In a month or so, and I'm out of my mind. I'm stressing all these things to do. And sure enough, she was not in the zone, was she? She was in that urgent, important mode and freaking out. One of the fastest ways to get out of the dimension of demand or even the dimension of delusion or distraction is come back to the zone. What brings you back to the zone is planning, right? Get in that place where you're doing things that are important and not urgent. Start to anticipate. That gives you power. That takes you out of stress. So her name was Nisi. And as I talked to her, she said, you know, I'm planning my own wedding. And she goes, I really wanted to plan it, but it's so stressful. I got all these other things going on in my life, and I don't even know where to start, and I got this humongous to-do list. And you know what else is? My husband-to-be, Gary, is having his birthday the night before we're getting married. I don't want to miss out on that because we're working on all the other plans. She goes, I'm just completely overwhelmed. I said, well, show me your to-do list. And she wasn't even at that level. She had most of it in her head. That's a guaranteed level for stress. So I said, you know what? What's the first step in planning something? Capture. So you know what, since you're so stressed, I like to start with the ultimate outcome, ultimate purpose, but let's just see how you would normally plan this. Just dump everything out of your head. Tell me everything you got to do. She said, well, I got to take care of the parking situation because the parking's a problem there. And I said, okay, what else? She goes, well, I got to rent two vans. She says, I said, write all this down. So she did. I said, what else? She goes, well, I have to arrange a breakfast for Friday, and I have to arrange a breakfast for Saturday, and I've got to arrange a Saturday lunch, and I got to order the direction signs because no one will find the place otherwise. And I got to order those meat trays, and I got to pick them up on Saturday at Sam's place. And I got to pick up the donuts on Friday, and I got to pick up the donuts on Saturday for everybody because I promised I'd handle that. And I got to get the plates for the cake table, and I got to match the silver for the cake table. And I got to get the caterer for Saturday, and get the caterer for Sunday. I got to find the MC for Gary's party for Friday. Now I got to order the mic and podium for the party at the hotel. I got to call Kathy to put out the signs, and I got to call and confirm the band. I was saying, I think I know why you're stressed. I said, let's count these here. After she wrote them down, I went, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 34. You got about 22 action items, and they don't even cover most of what you got to do. She goes, oh, I'm so stressed. I'm so stressed. I said, let's stop the stress. Let me ask you a question. What's your outcome? She said, what do you mean? I said, what is your ultimate outcome for this wedding? What do you really want? She goes, well, I want to have a great wedding, and I want to have fun. I want to enjoy my wedding. I want to enjoy my friends and my family. I said, are you moving in that direction with this to-do list? She said, no. I said, you need to practice OPA. This is a project. This is not one outcome. A lot of things got to get done to get this done, right? So tell me, let's stop and take the time to come up with an ultimate outcome. And I said, it won't be perfect the first time. Just write it. And let's write it again until we get one you like. She finally came up with the ultimate outcome of create the wedding of a lifetime. That's an incredible experience for Gary and myself, and it's totally fun for our guests. Now, that's great. And if that's the outcome, then maybe we can change some of this to-do list. Not all these things have to happen for you to have a wedding of a lifetime and for Gary to enjoy it too and for your guests to have a great time. And maybe they do need to happen, but at least now you know why you're doing it, what you're going after. Tell me the why, though. What's the ultimate purpose? If the result you're after, Remember, an ultimate outcome is the ultimate result. Is the most extraordinary lifetime wedding and an incredible experience for Gary and you and fun for your guests, then why do you want that to happen? What's your ultimate purpose? And she said, I want to have a remarkable beginning for an awesome marriage. I want to express my love for Gary in a unique way. And I want to express my love to my family and my friends and make sure they all have fun. Because that's what my life's about. Great purpose. I said, now, how do you feel right now thinking about your outcome and your purpose? She goes, that's what I'm really doing this for. And she started to breathe. I said, you know what? You got to remember, what do you really want? And why do you want it? Because if you remember that and you keep that in front of you, then the plan, you know, how to get it, that can change. Because if you got that whole to-do list done, but then you're stressed about it, are you enjoying yourself? Are you going to be great for Gary? Are your guests going to have fun when they see you stressed out, worried about things like, where's the cake platter? I don't think so. Is it going to be an unbelievable beginning, a remarkable beginning? No, it's going to be a stressful beginning. So I said, let's make sure we keep that in mind the whole time. She goes, wow. She goes, that helped me so much. I said, okay, now look. When you look down at this massive list, like take care of the parking, rent the vans, arrange the breakfast, don't some of those kind of group together? Don't some of those kind of relate to something together? Aren't those like action items that could relate to a bigger outcome? Because if you try to remember all 22 of these things, you're going to be stressed even if you got on a piece of paper and you've left out a lot of things. So let's think in terms of outcomes. To get your ultimate outcome of an ultimate lifetime wedding that you all enjoy, what actually are the must results, must outcomes? She said, well, I'd have to handle all this stuff. I'd have to handle enough of the events in advance so that I'm assured that the weekend will be smooth and really successful. I said, okay, that's a good outcome, isn't it? So let's write that down. Handle enough of the events in advance that I'm assured the weekend will be smooth. Great. Now, why do you want to do that? We'll walk through that. And then what action items are necessary? What's another must outcome? She said, it's a must that I have a pleasurable Friday and Saturday evening so I enjoy my guests. And you know what? She said, that leverage thing you're talking about, I got to get somebody else to help me here. I said, no kidding, Dick Tracy. I said, doing this all yourself is insane. She goes, well, I was trying to save money. I said, well, that's great. I think you can still be efficient. You could probably get some of your friends who care about you to help you here. There's lots of ways to leverage, but you know what? A lot of these things you're doing, other people will deliver. They'll do it for you and won't charge you anymore. She goes, yeah, okay. She said, so let's refine that. I want to have a pleasurable Friday and Saturday evening, enjoy my guests while the details are taken care of by somebody else. Cool. That'll get you a lot closer to your outcome of a lifetime wedding. I said, what else? She goes, I got all these things I got to shop for, all these things I got to pick up and do. And I said, well, let's relate that to a positive outcome. Do you like shopping? She goes, normally I do. I said, then what's your outcome? She said, you know what? I want to set up a fun day of shopping with Kim and Kay, my best friends. That way I get to spend time with them while I'm shopping for the wedding stuff. I said, great. Now you're having a great time with your friends. They're having a great time with you. They're connected to you. And you get the stuff done. I said, what else? She said, I want to create a fabulous 50th birthday party for Gary on Friday night during the rehearsal dinner. So it's a total surprise. So we wrote that down. So I said, anything else? She goes, no. So I said, okay, to create a wedding of a lifetime that's an incredible experience for Gary and yourself and it's fun for your guests so that you have a remarkable beginning, an awesome marriage, you get to express your love to Gary and your family and friends have fun, all you got to do is have enough of these events handled in advance so it goes smooth, have a pleasurable Friday and Saturday evening enjoying your guests while someone else takes care of the details, have a fun shopping day with Kim and Kay and spend time with them while shopping for the wedding stuff, and create a fabulous 50th birthday party. She goes, yeah. So can you remember those five things? She goes, yeah. I said, let's not remember. Let's turn them into a plan now. Let's turn them into an OPA plan, which is what we did. And if you have your book, you can see exactly what she came up with. So let's start with the first one. I said, which one of these is the first outcome you want to hit on? She goes, you know what? I want to create a fabulous surprise birthday party for Gary on Friday night during the rehearsal dinner. I said, okay, that's your outcome. What's this going to give you? Why do you want to do this? She said, because I want to honor Gary. I want to delight him. I want to have fun doing it. I want to create a magic moment for him. I want to share my love with him. I said, now, when you think about that, do you feel stressed about putting this party or do you feel excited? She goes, no, I'm excited. I mean, I want to do this. I said, great. What specific actions have to happen to make that work? She said, well, we'd have to pick up the signs. I'd have to order the cake. I'd pick up the cake. I'd have to get the MC. I'd have to get an accurate count of the guests. I'd have to confirm the count for the hotel. And she made the whole list. I said, okay, now, let's put those in an order of importance. Which of those are musts? Well, I have to order the cake. I got to get the MC. I said, okay, how many of these things could you leverage? We went through the list. She leveraged all but three things out of about 12 on this list. I said, how does that feel? She went, oh, my God. And I said, you know what? Could you hand this entire OPA block to a total stranger and would they know exactly what to do? She said, yeah. I said, so now you can manage them and say, this is what I'm after. I want to totally delight Gary. Here's why I'm doing it. Here are the specific actions. Can you think of any other actions I've not thought of to make sure we blow Gary away and he has the greatest time? And she said, you know what? I'm going to try that. And she later on did, she told me, and a couple of her friends thought of other things that made the night even better. And they got to feel like they were contributing, which was wonderful. And then she gave this little OPA block on a piece of paper to two different people who went out and got it all done. Total leverage got her outcome. Okay, what's the next one? Set up a fun day of shopping with Kim and Kay to shop for wedding things. Why? To create fun. To have a productive day. To connect and spend time with my friends. To reduce stress. What are you going to shop for? The sign-in book, the wedding photo album, the cameras for the tables, the champagne glasses, the plates for the cake tables. I said, you know, a bunch of these things probably happen in one or two stores. I said, are these things, how long is this going to take? And she added it all up, and she went, you know, the whole thing will only take me, if it took me the worst case, it would take me 5 hours of shopping. I said, oh, my God, that's death on earth. She goes, no, not for me. I love to shop. I said, but what's the must time? She said, I could do the whole thing in 2 hours. I said, you're with your friends. How's that feel? Instead of that massive to-do list you had. She said, oh, it's great. So you can look at the rest. You can see that here's what happened. Planning her wedding and making it something that made it a lifetime enjoyable experience and planning her husband-to-be's birthday party ended up being four outcomes for her. Four outcomes. She knew why she was doing it. She leveraged most of it. She had the time of her life. She came back and she said, I'm an OPA-er for life. She said, this made my marriage. I said, not only made your marriage now, it'll make your marriage long-term, because now you got to have a category called an extraordinary wife, lover, best friend, and have some goals for how you're going to keep knocking the socks off of him, and he's got to do the same with you. And maybe another one for your family. Do you follow me? See, this, I've walked you through this in more detail than maybe you need to hear. And again, you could review this visually in about one-tenth the time. But all I want you to know is there is power in projects, and there's pathways to power. Meaning when you start doing enough of these, you're going to get good at it. In the beginning, it takes forever because you're learning something. But you know what? Just like OPA blocks, pretty quickly you're going to start saying, oh, I know what to do. Boom, 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 boom. And when other people get a project, people go, oh, I don't know where to start. Oh my gosh, I don't know where to begin. Here's where the rubber meets the road. Turning dreams into reality means you don't just talk about it. You don't just envision it. You get a plan and you schedule it. And once you do that, there is nothing you won't be able to plan. And by the way, once you plan something, you can help other people you care about. Like I did this for a woman who was making a move and she was all stressed about making the move. Oh my gosh. You know, it took us a good 30, 40 minutes and we laid out a killer plan. She understood that she didn't just want to make the move. She wanted to make the move in a way that caused her to stay connected to her friends and the people she had lived with for the last 15 years in her neighborhood. And also she wanted to not only make the move, but feel like she'd lived there for years. That was a different outcome than just making the move. And she had a bunch of whys. But what was great was there were certain things she had to do that she'd not even thought of, that she would have been stressed about because they would have been missing. Now, anybody who needs to make a move has to do very similar things, just like anybody has to lose weight, just like anybody needs to plan a wedding. Does that make sense? And that's true of just about anything. A woman is saying, you know, I want to find a man for my life. I said, well, you know what? Plenty of people have done that. There's a pathway to power. They found their ideal mate. They said, what's your ultimate outcome? She didn't know who she wanted in her life. I said, well, that's one of the challenges. So she came up with, well, my ultimate outcome is to find the ideal person to share my life with. And the why is because I want to share all the love that's in my heart and soul. I want someone that I can absolutely love. I want to build a family, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I said, okay, what's one of the first must outcomes? She goes, I'm not sure. I said, well, let me help you out. The first outcome is to get clear about what is the kind of person that you really want to be with, right? So let's make that one OPA block. And there are lots of ways to do that. What do you want? What do you not want? Right? What are the examples? And I said, here's the next thing. What kind of person do you need to be to attract that kind of person? That's a whole nother outcome, isn't it? And becoming that person, that's another OPA block. And another one might be defining a marketing plan. Like, where do I need to be? What are the kinds of environments I need to put myself in where I'm going to find that kind of person? And developing a little OPA plan for that. All these little OPA plans relate to the ultimate project here of finding your ideal mate, someone you can love and share your life with. And so pretty much anybody who's going to find their ideal mate, they may not have to do it this exact way, but are these not similar things? Don't you have to know what you're really looking for if you're going to find it in most cases? I know some people just bump into each other, but if you haven't bumped into somebody recently or haven't bumped into them for several years, maybe it's time to create a plan. You go, Robin, it's your anal. You want me to plan meeting somebody in my life? You want me to open that process? Yes, that's what I did. That's how I found the person for my life. That's what anybody I've ever met who's found their ideal mate, they sat down at one point and said, who specifically do I want? And they defined it, and they got really clear. Clarity is power. See, think about this process. I'm not saying this is the only way to do it. I'm saying it's a darn good way. So you got to think about it. People have done really well without any OPA plan. But I guarantee that if you meet someone who's successful, they're good at chunking. They don't make something overwhelming. They say, you know what? There are a few things I got to do here. And they know what they want. They know why they want it. And they find many ways to make it happen. This is just a way to make it systematic so you're consistent. And when you're consistent, you get results quicker. Otherwise, you get results sometimes and not others. And also, this causes your life, again, to be balanced. So think about this big picture now. There are five levels of management for your life then. You go, oh, another five, huh? I got these five steps to making a plan. You give me these three OPA things. You give me another number here. Yes, five levels of management, and you already know most of them. I said, in order to manage your life, there are two areas of management, right? There's your personal and professional life. That's called areas of management. So ultimately, to manage your life, there's two areas you manage. That's the very top level of management. Second level is called categories. You know what categories are, right? Those are the areas of your life within your personal or professional life that you're going to constantly improve. And you pick those out. When you made those categories, you came up with a vision. You came up with some goals. But don't those goals have to be turned into something? You bet. Those goals are either going to become projects, that's the third level of management, or at least OPA blocks. And they all ultimately become an action item at the bottom level. I actually teach this in the reverse order. So let me walk you through that. And try and picture this in your mind. Here's where most people manage their whole life, at action items. That's the first level for most people. They have a million to-dos they're trying to do, and they wonder why they're a bit stressed and why they're doing well in one area of their life and leaving out a whole other area and being stressed about that. You don't want to manage action items for the reasons we've already talked about. That's really level one. You're a low-level player when you manage your life at that level. The minimum level we're going to manage our lives is level two, which is OPA blocks. Why? Because we don't want to do just action items. Actions without purpose is a drain to your life of fulfillment. Movement is not achievement. So we create an OPA block, which says, we say, what's our outcome? Why do we want it? What specific actions do I need to take? So we create OPA blocks. But if it takes more than one outcome to get something done, then you have a what? A project. That's the third level of management. What does a project have? Ultimate outcome, ultimate purpose. Has a lot of must outcomes. What's that a key word for? Must outcomes are OPA blocks. Okay? And that all related to that ultimate outcome, like building the house or getting married or losing 80 pounds, all the examples that I gave you. But if you got a lot of projects, you might start to feel overwhelmed. So what do you got to do? Those projects got to be connected to something. They fit under some category, don't they? So you might have a project that relates to your physical body and a project that relates to your kids. And you might have a project called building your home, which has to do with something in your personal life called creating the good life. Maybe under the category of marketing, you have a project which is to create a series of new brochures. Or you might have another project under marketing like build a brand new sales team in your corporate side or your professional role side. Do you follow me on this? So projects fit under those categories. And categories all fit either in the area of management called your personal life, that's the fifth level of management, or your professional life. Does that make it clear? If it's not, when you see it on paper, it'll be really clear. All I want you to know is when you think about things, know where you are. Are you managing action items? Recipe for stress. Is this an OPA block? If it's going to take more than a day or a week, it takes more than one outcome, it's clearly a what? Here's your test. Project. Right? And if you've got a lot of projects and they relate to one another, they probably fit under a specific category. Does that make sense? And your categories relate to either your personal or professional life. So, I have one final distinction for you. You go, man, this guy can talk, can he? Man, he can dump a lot in one tape. My goodness. Is he going to shut up soon and let me do some planning? The answer is yes. Stay with me. One final distinction. Sometimes you get a project that is big, really big. A project like building a house is a big project, okay? Now, if you're the one actually constructing it, if it's just you organizing it, that's different. Or a project like my mastery program. I mean, that's a big project. There are a lot of outcomes. So when you get a project, you got an ultimate outcome, ultimate purpose, and you get must outcomes, and you end up, let's say, with a project that has 10 or 12 or 14 outcomes, or 20. That's a big project. We call those mega projects. When does it become a mega project? As soon as it starts to feel overwhelming. Right? As soon as it has 10, 12, 15 outcomes, most people start to get a little bit overloaded. It depends on you. It depends on how your mind works. Some people can handle 10 or 15, no problem. But when you get in that range, it's a lot. When it gets that big, you probably want to organize kind of a table of contents for your must outcomes. Think about a book. If every page was just lines and lines and lines and lines of letters, and words, you'd be crazy. So we create them into paragraphs, right? Kind of like OPA blocks. But you know what? If you had zillions and zillions of OPA blocks, it gets a bit overwhelming for that many pages, so you create chapter titles. So it allows you to divide this huge thing into 12 things, right? 12 chapter titles. We can do the same thing with a mega project. What you do is you might say, you know what? I got 30 outcomes here. That's a big project. Is this more than one project? If it is one project, do some of these outcomes relate to one another? Yeah, you go, you know, these four outcomes all relate to kind of a general area within the project of like legal items. So you create what's called a key result area. That's a fancy word. A key result area is a fancy word for grouping together a group of outcomes and putting a label above them so you know that they all relate to legal. So when you look at this project, you won't feel overwhelmed. You go, oh, what are my outcomes around this project that relate to legal things? You might find another group of outcomes and you say, you know, these all kind of relate to one another. We could group these together under marketing. And you put marketing as the key result area within the project. Am I making sense to you? You know, if I'm not, if you take a look on the paper, again, it'll be really clear. Just think of it. When you get a mega project, it becomes a mega project as soon as it seems like you've got more outcomes than you can remember, then group them together into smaller groups. What's the whole point of this whole thing? To remember five levels of management? No. So that you can begin to organize things so no matter how complex your life may seem or your business may seem, you can always group things together in similar outcomes or similar areas that you can focus on. Our goal is to constantly simplify. So instead of having a million action items, we have two areas of our life we manage, personal and professional. We want to work on one area, we can put our whole focus there on our physical, and we do it on a regular basis. We want to work on our professional life, we can pick one area and focus on it. And everything underneath that that's a project I can look at. That breaks down to open blocks, that breaks into what do I do today. Now, let me just clarify one more thing. For it to be an action item, it's one simple, specific, measurable action that you can take today. So when you're creating an open block, you want to be one specific thing. You don't want to say, do a bunch of research. That's not an action item. That's not specific. It's not one thing. You could say, do 2 hours of research on how to accomplish X. That's one specific action item. You can hand that to somebody else. That's the test. Could I hand this to somebody else, have them read it, and know exactly what to do? An open block is if it requires more than one action, then at minimum it's an open block. And that is, it has an outcome to which you'll add a purpose and you'll create emotional drive and you'll create an action plan for it. If there are multiple outcomes required to achieve the result you're after, then it's a project. And again, most likely, an open block only takes a day or an hour or a week. A project usually takes more than a week or sometimes even months to accomplish. If there's an area of your life, either your business or professional life, that requires constant, consistent focus and improvement, and it has several projects associated to it, then it's obviously a category of improvement. This is an ongoing focus in your life, and it's likely to extend beyond a quarter, beyond a year, like making improvements in your physical bodies for the rest of your life, right? Making improvements in how you live your family life is probably for the rest of your life. Making improvements on your finances is the rest of your life. Categories don't go away. Projects may. Goals may. But categories are constant. Do you follow me on this? So my outcome for this tape was for you to begin to understand that you can take something incredibly difficult and complex and make it fun. That you can really master projects. And if you do that, if you master projects, you can master a division of a company. You can even run a company. Because all running a company is taking these outcomes and converting them into real results for a corporation. Whether you're being a manager of a corporation or an entrepreneur, or whether you're managing your personal life, you got to master projects. And the way you do it is get started. Because many people will not believe they know something just by understanding it intellectually. The way we ultimately know is by doing it. And by the way, how do you get good at something? You do it a bunch of times. In the beginning, you're not good. You do it over and over again. You get really good and really fast. Remember the exercise we did or you listened to, that exercise where you signed your name. Doing half as much will seem like more initially, but within a short period of time, you'll get the benefits. So what have we learned in this session, session 7? We learned that, number one, that if we're going to plan our life, sometimes we need more than one result to get an ultimate result we're after. What do we call that? When it takes more than one OPA block, a project. What does a project have? An ultimate what? Outcome. An ultimate what? Purpose. And then a series of must outcomes. How do you plan a project? Same way you plan a day. 5 steps. Capture. Create your OPAs. 3, commit. 4, schedule it. 5, measure it, manage it, master it, and celebrate. That's all you got to do. What else have we learned? Pathways to power. That if we do this enough, we'll get good at it and we'll start seeing patterns. And pretty soon, we'll be the Hall of Famer baseball player, only instead of the Hall of Fame baseball player, the Hall of Fame will be for your life. You'll be able to do things no one else can accomplish because you won't be hoping and dreaming and talking about it. You'll be making it happen. Hopefully, you've also seen by this session that you can get yourself out of stress, that a wedding can become a really enjoyable experience, even though it was stressful before. that you can lose that weight, and that once you accomplish something, you have a gift you can give somebody else. Instead of saying, well, I lost 80 pounds, why don't you? You can say, hey, here's one way to do it, and you can hand them that plan. That's an amazing thing you can do. You've also learned that sometimes you have mega projects, and you can make them a little simpler. When you get too many outcomes, when it feels a little overwhelming, create a table of contents called key result areas. Group them together. And you've also learned that there are five levels of management. Level number one is having action items, the do list. Obviously, this is something you're no longer going to do if you're on session number seven, except when you're doing the capture mode. So a quick review. If it's going to take more than one action item to get something done, it's got to at least be an OPA block. So you take it to level two of management. If something's going to take more than one OPA block to get the ultimate result, it has to be a project. If you've got several projects, in order to know how to manage them, they fit into one of your categories, either under the category of your body or the category of some aspect of your professional life. And finally, all this stuff ultimately comes down to managing two things, either your personal life or your professional life. So those are the five levels of management. That's a lot to absorb in this time. So you say, okay, Tony, I'm starting to understand some of this stuff. Let me tell you the secret now. We got to get you to start moving in. This is all going to be intellectual until you start really doing it. So one more thing. Before you finish this day, take a quick glance at the little test I've given you. I've given you some reminders of what is an outcome versus a purpose versus an action item. What's an OPA block? What's a project? All in writing in your workbook. But then look down at those little questions there and give yourself the little self-test. Are these action items? Are they OPA blocks, projects, or categories? Or in some cases, are they purpose statements? Purpose statements meaning in the OPA block, something that's just about the purpose itself. Like, let me just do the first one with you. The first one on that little test says, call Elvis to check in on how he's doing with his weight loss plan. Now, if all you're doing is calling Elvis, is that an entire project? Is that a category? No, no, no. Is that an OPA block just to call him? Obviously, that's just merely an action item. If you have something like resolve marketing plans for our new products, remember, outcomes tend to use words like resolve, change, transform, make progress on, complete, begin. Those are the words that kind of start out outcomes because they're results you're after. So resolving something is a result. So that is an outcome. Okay? So go ahead and take the little list, go through it, and you'll see that some of these have to do with how you look at things. So for example, if I say plan a trip to the Bahamas, one person says that's a project. Someone says, nah, that's just an OPA block. I know the outcome. I know why I'm doing it. There's only a few action items. For some people, making a plan for a trip is only a few things. Some people make a trip into a very big thing. It's totally up to you. In those cases, the right answer, whether it's a project or an OPA block, has to do with more with you than with having, quote, the right answer. This is a system for you to manage you. You might want to take the rest of this test on your own. Now, if you haven't done it already, get your OPA life planner out. Get that life planner out and move in. This is your homework. Fill in your calendar with your scheduled time, meaning the things that got to happen at 12 o'clock on March the 31st. Put in the actual scheduled times only in your calendar. Go to the back in the A through Z section and put in your addresses and phone numbers. I'll walk you through more of the details later. And then maybe begin to plan. Yesterday you planned a day. Maybe now it's time to plan a project. Don't do the whole thing. Here's what I want you to do today. Think of a project you have. What's something you really want to accomplish? Think of it right now. What's something you've maybe been putting off because it seems too big, like you don't know where to start? Think of a project like that that's really important to you right now. And what I want you to do is, when you turn this tape off, pull out one of those project planners, or if you're on the computer, just go to the section called Projects. It's real obvious. And hit the first button, and it'll ask you, what's the ultimate outcome? Now, your brain, sometimes when you think of a project, you just start thinking of things to do. That's okay. Then write it in the capture section. But as quickly as possible, what I want you to do right now is think of that project. Maybe it's a fun project. You haven't done it for a while. Maybe it's a project that seems overwhelming. But pick one, something you want to get done. What's the ultimate outcome? And by the way, when you write outcomes the first time, they're not very good. So I'd encourage you to use pencil, right? Or if it's on a computer, it's easy. You can just erase it and start over. But work at it a little bit. It's worth it because once you get a clear outcome, it's like a magnet. Once you have a clear goal, man, your brain starts to be pulled towards it. Then what's your ultimate purpose? And that's easy. What juices you about this? Why do you want to make this thing happen? What will it give you in your life? Why is this important to you? Then start to think, what are some of the must outcomes? And just do that for today. Come up with an ultimate outcome, an ultimate purpose, and a set of must outcomes. And if you're really daring, do at least one OPA block. Like, take one of those must outcomes and find out, okay, can I refine that even more? What's the purpose? What are the action items? And do one OPA block. If you're one of those accelerated people, go ahead and do the whole project. And that'll take you a bit more time. But it won't take you very long to do the ultimate outcome, ultimate purpose, and the must outcomes. So that's your assignment for today, session number 7. Tomorrow, I'm going to show you how to put all this together. You're going to say, oh, how do I do my days and my projects? How do I put it all together? Tomorrow's session, session number 8, is the weekly planning process. This is where we're going to take everything I've taught you, put it into one session, and show you how to make it practical and walk you through your book. We're nearing the end of this program where you'll really be doing all this stuff. So go out there and get started on a project. Have some fun with this darn thing. Become a project master. I look forward to being with you tomorrow once again for session number 8, the weekly planning process where we pull it all together. Till then, have an absolute great time making your projects happen. This is Tony Robbins saying live with passion.